Welcome to the ABR podcast, where some of Australian Book Review's contributors discuss major issues or read their reviews in creative writing. My name is Jack Khalil, and I'm the digital editor of ABR. If you enjoy these podcasts, think about subscribing to the magazine. Those aged 25 and under can do so for as little as $25 for a digital subscription or $50 for print plus digital. The French philosopher and sociologist Bruno Latour is one of the world's most iconoclastic thinkers and has recently turned his attention to the relations between human activity and the natural world. In his new work, After Lockdown, A Metamorphosis, Latour takes pandemical lockdowns as a provocation for a philosophical fable, one that combines elements of Ovid and Franz Kafka, and argues that the return to normalcy is an opportunity for a transformative re-encounter with the earth, a work millennia in the making. In today's episode, listen as Paul Muldoon reads his review of this genre-crossing work, a work he believes even the Brothers Grimm would be in awe. Paul Muldoon is Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at Monash University. But before we begin, a brief word from Black Ink.
Noel Pearson traces a life of politics, ideas, and inspiring words in Mission. Whether he is recalling his boyhood in Queensland, making the case for Indigenous recognition, or evoking a reconciled, multicultural Australia, Pearson confirms he is one of Australia's most powerful and influential thinkers, and an extraordinary writer. This 600-page volume selects the best of Pearson's work to date, featuring indelible portraits of political leaders seen up close. Keating, Rudd, Whitlam, Turnbull, and more. Mission includes Pearson's brilliant exploration of a voice to Parliament, which eventually led to the Uluru Statement from the Heart. And, in a remarkable new extended title essay, Pearson reflects on his life and work so far. Honest, provocative, and utterly original, Mission by Noel Pearson is out now. Order from blackinkbooks.com.
Bruno Latour's new book, After Lockdown, A Metamorphosis, is so engaging from the first page that one feels obliged to begin just where he does, with an arresting portrait of a man who wakes from a long sleep to find that everything except the moon and its indifferent rotations makes him uneasy. Everywhere he looks, he sees reminders of the lost innocence of the Anthropocene. The sun brings to mind global warming, the trees, deforestation, the rain, drought. Nothing in the landscape offers solace. Pollution has left its mark everywhere, and he feels vaguely responsible for it all. And now, to top it off, the very breath that sustains his life carries the risk of premature death. How many of his neighbours might he infect, or be infected by, amid the vapour trails of his evening walk? Nature, it seems, is having its revenge, and the in-out-in of lockdown threatens to become interminable. How will we emerge from this COVID nightmare? What will we wake up to, or, perhaps more to the point, wake up as after lockdown? Latour has an idea, or rather a hope, that we will wake up as terrestrials, with a different awareness of and appreciation for the space in which we have always been locked down, the space called Earth, or, as he prefers to say, Gaia. 2 or 3 kilometres above the ground and 2 or 3 kilometres below it is where the Earth stops and the universe begins. This is where we are truly confined, what Latour calls the biofilm. Travel any further and we have to take the Earth and the things we have manufactured from it with us. Oxygen, food, aeronautical suits, big metal canisters to ride in, and any number of other prostheses. Our habitat does not extend infinitely. Not even the astronauts, tied to their life-sustaining goddess mother, as if by a great umbilical cord, ever truly leave the Earth. Perhaps, Latour urges, it's time we learn how to live here. But how? The surprising hero of After Lockdown is Grigor Samsa, the tormented protagonist of Kafka's Metamorphosis, who rises one morning to find himself transformed into a cockroach. For Samsa, it's a nightmare without end. For Latour, an awakening into another life. Could it be, he asks, that we've read Kafka the wrong way. Inspired by the possibility of a happy Samsa, liberated rather than devastated by his metamorphosis, Latour invites us to see our own recent experience of living like insects, of being confined to the nest and making only occasional forays out for food, as the unintended gift of a virus that wants only what every living thing wants, to live on, to keep engendering itself. Thanks to its persistence, we too have an opportunity to wake into another life, cognizant finally of the interdependence between us and other living things. But it won't be easy. Like Samsa, we have to undergo a metamorphosis, beginning with our understanding of the terrestrial home where we are and always will be, in permanent lockdown. And here we are in for another surprise. On Earth, writes Latour, nothing is natural. Everything is constructed. That which we perceive to be organic and are in the habit of calling nature is in fact composed of manufactures and manufacturers who have been toiling away forever. All living things, he tells us, are builders, and builders, what's more, who are ultimately inseparable from the buildings they create to house and sustain themselves. Latour delights in the example of termites who work in tandem with a symbiotic fungus to build vast nests of chewed earth, their own air-conditioned clay Prague, which expands as they eat. But the termite is not unique. For Latour, it makes no more sense to divide the city from the city dweller than it does to divide the termite mound from the termite. Both are really just exoskeletons, no less organic than the living things that made them. Time, then, in the becoming termite moment of COVID, to stop thinking that a great gulf exists between the organic and the inorganic. Rock formations, coral reefs, rainforests, termite mounds, and cities. All of them alike, insists Latour, are bioclastic, formed by living things out of the debris of other living things as they go about the activity of engendering themselves. This is what we need to understand about the Earth. It is composed of nothing more or less than living organisms, what Latour likes to call agents, the effects of their actions and the traces they leave behind. Ultimately, we humans, but perhaps we should now say terrestrials, are just actors in a vast network of actors, surrounded, quite literally, by life. Written, Latour tells us, in the style of a philosophical fable, after lockdown moves so easily between philosophy, science, politics, literature, and biography that it's hard not to be enchanted, even seduced by it. I can scarcely remember the last work of non-fiction that I enjoyed as much as this one. Even the Brothers Grimm would be in awe of it. But the stylistic delights of the text do not alleviate the need to ask difficult questions about the significance of Latour's enticing vision of the Earth as a vast, interlocking system of engendering life. Exactly what bearing does this image have on the climate emergency foreshadowed in the opening pages of the book? There are moments in After Lockdown where one could be forgiven for thinking that Latour is simply reiterating the thesis of the grand economy of nature, whose origins can be traced back to the author of another famous story about metamorphoses, Ovid. In Ovid's epic poem, first published in the 8th century AD, one already finds the earth figured in its totality as life. All things are always changing, says Ovid, but nothing dies. The spirit comes and goes, is housed wherever it will, shifts residence from beast to men, from men to beasts, but always it keeps on living. In Ovid's grand economy, there is at once perpetual flux and eternal constancy. Though individual life forms come and go, there is no overall decline in spirit or energy, only endless mutation, metamorphosis. Latour's philosophical fable resembles Ovid's epic poem in its assertion that there is ultimately nothing on earth except life. However, there is a crucial difference between the two texts. Unlike Ovid, Latour does not endorse the idea, implicit in the vision of the grand economy, that the timeless earth will do just fine come what may. His claim is rather that the earth is very much a product of time, and that now, more than ever, time is of the essence. As he is at pains to underscore, this remarkable planet of ours is not a gift of providence that just so happens to be perfectly suited to life. It is rather the end result of countless manufacturers working over countless millennia, all of whom have made and continue to make critical contributions to the Earth's livability. Like the termites, these manufacturers are unstoppable. They're always at work. But nothing, not even a termite mound, is built in a day. If a climate emergency is upon us, Latour suggests, it's not because the manufacturers have downed tools, but because we are no longer giving them enough time to do their jobs. Terrestrials, and this is one of the things that seems to differentiate them from what Latour calls old-fashioned humans, understand that it is in the nature of living things to impact other living things. Concerned only with engendering itself, each manufacturer has the potential to interrupt the manufacturing efforts of others near and far, forcing them to make adjustments on the run. This, Latour suggests, is just how life works, and that is why it's so difficult to replicate its processes in a laboratory. But as the accelerating rate of species extinction shows, there are limits to these processes of adjustment. The problem with the manufacturers known as the human species is that they build at breakneck speed, while their many counterparts on Earth can only go so fast. Ever accelerating in our work, we are constantly disturbing them in theirs, jeopardizing the contribution they make to the livability of the planet, the only planet where we can live. Warnings that we might, in fact, be accelerating towards the extinction of our own life have been coming thick and fast in recent years, but nothing looked like stopping us until that ironic twist of 2019. Evidently as unconcerned as we have been with anything but its own manufactures, COVID gave us a taste of our own medicine. Now it is we humans who have been interrupted, dramatically slowed in our building processes, while other species have been given a small window of time in which to go about their work undisturbed. They have adjusted. How were we? Our first inclination in this moment of crisis has been to do to COVID what Daddy Samsa wanted to do to Grigor, squash it. After the many deprivations of lockdown, the desire to bring an end to our insect-like existence and to return to normal is, of course, understandable. But perhaps, for once, we shouldn't be in such a hurry. How normal was the old normal anyway? Latour invites us to consider whether we might not, really ought not, simply spring back once we have made our own adjustments in the form of vaccinations. Ironically enough, he suggests, the lockdown moment of COVID has done much to free us from our economic cage of growth and productivity. Long accustomed to thinking that the economy forms the bedrock of existence, we have since learned that other things are more fundamental. In the suspended moment of COVID, it is those engendering and subsistence concerns relating to the care of life, that have proved basic in the true sense of that word. Oddly enough, suggests Latour, it was only when he was locked up at home that the sovereign self-made man called Homo economicus rediscovered his dependence on other life forms. The critical issue for Latour is how this revaluation of things gets embedded, culturally and politically, once the pause created by COVID has ended. How might our newfound sense of interdependence be formalised institutionally? As Latour rightly notes, one of the biggest problems we face at present is a lack of alignment between the territories that we live in as citizens of states and the territories that we live off as humans on Earth. By dividing the world into independent sovereigns, the political map makes us forgetful of the interconnections between things that span the local, the national, and the supranational. The map is, as he puts it, unrealistic. But what system, one might ask, if not the Westphalian system of sovereign states? Perhaps it is expecting too much of a philosophical fable, but Latour is regrettably elusive with respect to the kinds of institutions that might be more realistic than the ones we currently have. If the diplomatic structures of international relations that we have been relying upon on Glasgow are unequal to the task, then we need to find alternatives, and fast. How exactly can we overcome the crisis of representation created by the mismatch between our territorial constituencies of nation states and our deterritorialized dependencies of life processes? What kind of political institutions would realistically represent us in our affiliations with lichens, earthworms, rivers, trees, migratory birds, and, dare I say it, viruses? The only advice that Latour has to offer is that we must place ourselves under the sovereignty of Gaia and reinvent everything all over again. The law, politics, the arts, architecture, cities. It's a metamorphosis indeed. After lockdown is unlikely to please those who think that nothing good has come of COVID. They will almost certainly find perverse its assertion of a liberation in rather than from lockdown. The best thing that I can say in the book's defence is that reading it really did feel like an awakening. Latour might not convince you that Gregor Samsa is better off as a cockroach, but he does deserve praise for having sketched another, more promising ending to the becoming insect story, one in which our recent experience of lockdown is grasped affirmatively as a true pivot, as a metamorphosis. Bruno Latour has no doubt of the need for recovery after lockdown. He simply asks that this recovery be the recovery not of the economy, but of the earth and its respiratory system. If the science is right, the life of our species and every other may well depend upon it.
Thanks for listening to the ABR podcast. We hope you'll join us again next week. If you enjoyed this episode, why not consider subscribing to ABR? Subscriptions start from just $10 per month for digital. Visit our website for more information. We'd like to thank Jack Khalil and Clancy Balin, who edit the podcast, as well as our contributors who take the time to read their articles and creative writing. And if you enjoy listening to the ABR podcast, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes.